In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, of course, we hear the very familiar story about the feeding of the 5,000, whereupon there were 12 baskets left over, and there were very few loaves and fish to begin with, and yet the Lord fed all of the people. This is easily one of the most astounding miracles, perhaps aside from the raising of Lazarus, that we have in the Gospels, that something like this could happen. And there had to be thousands and thousands of people there that witnessed this. And the word spread like wildfire, and everyone ate and was filled, and everything seemed really great. But at the same time, there's a certain part of this Gospel that I think we should maybe focus on today, because I think it is something that we perhaps don't think about enough, and that is the compassion of God. Because as we hear in the Gospel today, the Lord saw that they were out in the middle of nowhere, that the day was getting late, and that there was not going to be enough for everyone. So the Gospel indicates that the Lord saw the crowd and had compassion upon them. Now, this is not a word, perhaps, that is really much a part of our vocabulary these days. And we hear about, you know, being nice to someone or feeling sorry for someone or all these sorts of things, but having compassion upon someone, being able to empathize with them, to really know what they are going through. We don't think of this, I think, in any kind of depth these days. We do like to do what we can for people. We do like to make ourselves feel good sometimes by doing what we can for people. And it's not a bad thing that we see someone and we try to help them, that we try somehow to alleviate their circumstances, whatever they happen to be. But how often do we truly feel compassion for someone? Someone may come into the door and they may, you know, need some money or something like that, as happened last week here at the church. And we look at them and we see them and we think, well, you know, you need this help. Certainly we're going to give it to you. But I'm not sure that the empathy is ever really there. There's often, when we're asked to help someone these days, a lot of judgmentalism. We may not realize it, but we are thinking, we are sort of picking and choosing among those that may come to us for help in terms of who is worthy of that help. You know, well, this person, well, we know what they're going to do with the money, right? They're going to go out and, you know, buy drugs or something like that, or this person's an alcoholic, or this person just doesn't want to work, or, you know, any kind of reason that we can come up with in order to discriminate among those who we might help. And that, of course, is not the right attitude that we should have. We should not be judging anyone who comes to us. And when I say judgment, this is something that's so subtle you may not even think about it. It flashes through your mind quickly about, well, okay, there's that guy, he was here last month, you know, something like that. Instead of really putting ourselves in that person's position, even if they are alcoholics or drug addicts or don't want to work or something like that, what is the reason behind that? What is the sadness that this person has in their life because they can't get beyond the addiction? And we think, well, it's so easy for us to say, well, you know, get over it. You know, what's wrong with you? Where's your self-will? You know, why can't you stay off this or that? I mean, come on, you know? But it's much more serious than that. It's a lot deeper than that, because we don't know what that person's circumstances are, because we don't understand ourselves, perhaps, about where the origins of their circumstances come from. We simply don't know. That may not, thanks be to God, be part of our makeup, that we have, you know, an addicted personality, that we simply can't stay away from certain things, that we keep returning and returning and returning to these things which are wrecking these people's lives. We just don't feel like we can put ourselves in their place. But one of the things that we can do is to look at our own selves and think, okay, well, You know, I've been confessing this sin for years. Why is that? Why is that? Is that not an addiction also? It may not be as serious as someone who's, you know, strung out on crack 24 hours a day and can't shake it, can't get rid of it, but it's still perhaps a sin that we haven't dealt with, that we keep returning to. And so how are we any different? This might help us to have compassion on people that come to us, to have a certain empathy for them that perhaps we're lacking. The Lord certainly had that in this gospel today. We know from not only this passage, but from many other passages in the gospel, how absolutely empathetic he was with everyone that he met. He knew that these people were hungry. He knew what their situation was. He knew that they had come miles out into the middle of nowhere following him out of the town, and now perhaps were really beginning to panic because they didn't know what they were going to do. They had families, husbands, wives, miles away from anything, too tired perhaps to get back in time. And yet the Lord had compassion upon them and fed them. He has that same kind of compassion for us all today. But do we even think about that, his compassion towards us now? Why, for instance, would he allow this horrible virus that is so upset all of us, plaguing all of us, getting in our way, keeping us from doing the things that we want to do? Why is this being allowed? How is this representative of his compassion towards us? Would he not simply, you know, snap his divine fingers and make it all go away if he was truly compassionate towards us? What about St. Stephen, whom we talk about today, the celebration of the findings of his relics? And there's a story about that in the bulletin. It's a really good story. I encourage you to read it. But what about Stephen himself, who was taken at a young age after witnessing to Christ and was stoned to death in a really horrible manner? That's a horrible way to die. Where was the Lord's compassion upon him? Stephen was the proto-deacon. He was the proto-martyr, the first among all the martyrs. And he was so young. Why did the Lord not, well, kind of delay it? Let him live a life a little bit. Let him do some of the things that he probably felt that he was called to do. Where is the compassion of God in all of that? Well, the thing is that we don't see that the flip side of compassion is trials. That they are both one and the same coin that we have to deal with in our lives. Because the Lord's compassion for us showed that he came and become one of us and is now breaking down the gates of heaven and allowing all of us the possibility of going with him if we indeed want to. There was no greater compassion than that. But at the same time, the Lord is trying us during this life. He's making us stronger. He's making us into better Christians. I wanted to read you something briefly. This is from the ascetical homilies of St. Isaac the Syrian. I think part of the asceticism is just lifting this book because it's so thick. But the Lord says some interesting things in here. If I can find where it is. He's talking about trials, okay, in his 61st homilies. And if you've never read these, you should get a copy because they are just absolutely splendid. Every single page. St. Isaac the Syrian is simply a magnificent spiritual writer. And what he says here is, trial is profitable for everyone. For if trial was profitable for St. Paul, who said, "Let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God," ascetic strugglers are tried that they may add to their riches. The slothful are tried, that they may thereby guard themselves from what is harmful to them. The sleepy are tried, that they be armed with wakefulness. Those who are far away are tried, that they may draw nearer to God. Those who are God's own are tried, that with boldness they may enter into his house. The son who is not trained will receive no profit from the riches of his father's house. For this reason, then, God first tries and afflicts and thereafter reveals his gifts. Glory be to our Master Jesus Christ, who brings us the sweetness of health by stringent medicines. There is no man who will not feel oppressed at the time of training. And there is no man who will not find the time bitter wherein he is given the virulent potion of trials to drink. Without temptations, a man cannot acquire a strong constitution, yet to endure with patience is not within our power. For how should the clay vessel endure the vehemence of the waters if the divine fire had not hardened it? If we submit ourselves to God while beseeching him humbly, with perseverance and unceasing desire, we shall certainly receive all in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we think about the compassion of God as demonstrated in the gospel, and we think about the things that we are going through right now, we have to give thanks to God for all of this, because it is building us up to be better members of his body. It is making us more fervent in prayer. It is showing us the way of endurance that he had to go through on his way to the cross. It is something that is actually a great blessing for all of us, even though it's difficult for us sometimes to admit it. His compassion is always there. He looks down upon his people. He sees their sufferings, yet he wants to make them able to endure the sufferings so that they can become worthy of his kingdom. It's all part and parcel of this great, great package that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to us from heaven and allows us to become like him. Because if we look at how he endured all the things that he did endure, and voluntarily, then surely we can endure some of the things that we have to do involuntarily in order to become greater in strength, in prayer, in spirituality, as he is. So as he fed these 5,000 people and showed great love for the people wherever he went, healed them of every illness and affliction that they had, that same compassion and healing is available to us today if we will simply turn to him, not complain, understand that these are difficult times, because they are difficult times. Haven't we all thought sometime, all of us, about things that have happened in the world in the past and wondered to ourselves, how did those people ever get through it? How did they succeed? Well, as it happens, through the gift of God, we are going through one of those times right now. So that generations beyond us are going to look back at this time and say, how did those people get through this? How did they succeed? So it is a gift of God who gives us trials to encourage us, to strengthen us, to make us fit for his heavenly kingdom, and fit also to show the same compassion that he gives to us upon all the other people out there right now who are in such desperate need of our compassion. Amen.